Welcome to the Real Talk of Dental, where we pull back the bib and talk about what's really going on beneath the surface. Not just the charts, not just the systems. We're talking about the culture, the chaos, and the confessions. I'm Brandy Marzolino, and with 20 years deep in this industry, I am fresh out of patience for performative leadership. This is your space to laugh, cry, question everything, and maybe shout into a pillow between patients. We've got anonymous confessions, we've got call-ins, we've got ops room drama, and we've got the truth, served hot and a little too real. Think of this as your backstage pass to the break room no one dares to mic. Until now. Hey, before we get started, I want to tell you about something that's changing the game for women in dental leadership. It's called the Empowered Leadership Experience for Women in Dental. It's a six-month transformational journey for women who are done with burnout, over-functioning, and trying to lead like someone they're not. This isn't just another leadership training. It's a coming home to your voice, your power, and your joy. If you've ever felt alone at the top or stuck somewhere in the middle, this one's for you. Enrollment is now open. Head to leadhership-experience.com to enroll. Because real leadership isn't about performing. It's about remembering who you are. Now, let's get into today's episode. Brittany Rogars is an open dental savant, and I'm so excited to share this episode with you today. Not only does Brittany have an extraordinary story about how she started off in dentistry, applying for this odd job just to make a living for her new family, to now running a super successful open dental consulting and coaching program, breaking the mold along the way on not fitting the standard look and feel of how most dental companies are within the dental space. But she also talks about topics most people are not talking about. And it's sort of the hidden trouble that many offices have, but they don't pay a lot of attention to. And that is your open dental software, your practice management software. And that is because a lot of people pick up habits just to solve problems and just to like get by and make it easier, not knowing half the time that the fixes they're coming up with are actually not efficient. And then those things get handed down to team members who join the team, and the errors just continue to compound and compound and compound. Most people are not using their open dental software in the most effective and efficient way possible, and they don't even realize it. And that's where Brittany comes in, because she becomes a hero for so many front office staff and even clinical teams just to make things far more efficient and to make a whole lot more sense. And this is often why some of your best front office team members end up getting really burnt out, frustrated with other team members, and just really overwhelmed because of the level of inefficiencies and the different ways people are handling the software. So you're going to want to listen to this. You're going to want to dig in and start looking at how you are actually using your open dental software. And even if you're not using open dental, any practice management software, and just ensuring that your team is using it in the best possible way. And maybe it's time to bring someone like Brittany in to help expedite and create more efficiencies with your systems. And so many people don't realize these are the things that are chipping away at the morale and self-esteem of a lot of your team members. And they're just taking it as par for the course and what the job is, when in reality, it's a lot of inefficiencies and some broken systems. So I'm really excited to share this. Brittany's also very funny, very kind, incredibly generous person, and I'm so happy to call her a friend and somebody that I've really had the privilege and honor to get to know over the last couple of years. Please enjoy. Brittany Rogars from SKF Practice Solutions. You are one of my favorite people in the industry, hands down, and I'm so glad we met when we did. And I always tell people that you are the Rain Man of open dental in the dental industry. And so people are not aware of you yet. They need to be, because you are the hero in a lot of offices, because you help offices with their open dental software, their crisis, but then also how to simplify things too, which is incredibly important. And with that, I'm super grateful to have you on today, because you get to see a side of the operation that not a lot of people really get to see, including the doctor owners, business owners, and things like that, because you are in the trenches behind the scenes with the folks that are using the practice management software, and you are seeing how dysfunctional it is as far as like from a software perspective, and then also the pain points and the struggle and the emotional energy that's wasted because they have ineffective systems and messy front end architecture, I guess I would say. And so I'm really glad that you're on today, because you're going to be able to share a lot about that. So I know you have an amazing story on how you got to where you are today, which we'll definitely dive into. But right off the bat, what is a common thread you see among dental offices when you first start working with them on their practice management systems?
So I only work with open dental software, and everyone that we work with is typically converting to open dental software. So they're trying to recreate their Dentrix, their EagleSoft, their Softdent inside the open dental atmosphere, which for one, like there was a reason that you switched in the first place. You didn't like that software. So why are we doing that? But also it's just super inefficient because the software that we switched to, this open dental software, is so customizable and it's really designed to be built out how you work in your practice. And a lot of practices are now in the like flow of working for how their old software worked. So they've built their SOPs around all of the inefficiencies in their old software. So now they're trying to recreate those in the new software, and it creates this never ending cycle. People really think that switching their practice management software is going to like change their whole life and everything is going to be so much better. And that's just not the case unless we're really willing to invest in the things that were broken in the first place before we made the change and make them better in the new software. I don't know if that actually answered your question, but you got me on my soapbox and now here we are.
Yes. No, I love this. That's such a nuanced, amazing point, which is, I mean, you see that in leadership as well too, right? Like from my perspective as a coach, you come in and it's like, oh, this new coach or this new shiny system or this new methodology, like that's going to fix everything. And similarly, you know, my philosophy is like, we got to get to the root cause of the issue. We have to peel everything back and look at how did we get here? And I love what you're saying, because people can really, especially in practice management software, people can sort of Frankenstein their way through things and do this like patchwork, you know, system to navigate. And it causes so many issues, especially as people grow and expand and produce more and see more patients and things like that. So I really love what you're saying, where they're thinking that you're just going to come in with your, you know, glitter, which I would assume you'd have glitter sprinkling it all over the place based on your brand, but you're going to come in with your glitter and you're just going to magically make everything better, when you're saying, no, we have to look at how did you get into this hot mess, and we have to get to the root of all of this as well. And you see that all
sprinkle.
The time.
We sprinkle the glitter in along the way, but yeah, we definitely have to actually dig into the uncomfortable areas a little bit in order to actually make an impact in the long, like I can put a Band-Aid on it for you for sure. I can sprinkle glitter on it and make it shiny, but not all that's shiny is gold, or whatever that saying is. Like we can create something that will work, or we can create something that's actually going to make an impact. And you have to kind of decide which one you're willing to invest your time in.
Yeah. And I think, I mean, just in my relationship with you over, I think we've known each other a couple of years now, but early on in our relationship, when we were really diving into some open dental stuff together, I was really able to see also that there's a lot of offices that have garbage data in their practice management software and they have no clue. And I think one of the benefits of using things like Practice by Numbers or Dental Intelligence or any of the other platforms that are pulling this data and putting it into like a pretty presentable, you know, data format, it's really telling, because then you're able to really see like, oh, garbage data in is garbage data out. Like Dental Intelligence isn't going to make your data look better, right? It's just pulling that information. And so people are able to really, and people trust, like they see these numbers and they think they're real. And I think that's what's really fascinating. And especially in the age now with a lot of turnover, especially in front office, and a lot of people pick up different habits along the way, or they find a shortcut and they go, well, that worked, you know, and whether people are putting things in as credits or write-offs or how they're categorizing certain things. And those just compound over time. And then you have people, ops managers or office managers or whatever level they're at, looking at this data, and they may not know that the data is actually completely inaccurate, right? 100%. Especially when it comes to treatment plans. And like we were talking about, you know, back then with multiple treatment plans being presented, and that throws off case acceptance. And what do we do with the case, you know, the multiple treatment plans being accepted or presented that aren't accepted? And so it's really complex. And I just love the work that you do because I think people take it for granted, right? I think they don't really dive into the actual data and make sure that it's truly accurate. Is that fair to say?
Yeah. And I think I definitely don't want to like say any of the third parties are a bad option. I don't want to shy people away from analytic softwares either. Sure. But a lot of them are software agnostic, which means they have to try and take a piece of data from Dentrix, from Open Dental, from Eaglesoft, from Dexis, and try and make it work, you know, for all of those. And none of those softwares are used the same way. So that can also skew things as well. If you're looking at a number and they're measuring it based on what they think is the answer, but that's not really how you use the software, that can also throw those numbers off too. So it can be very difficult if you don't understand how your software works at a base level to know that those numbers are going to be accurate and be able to trust them. I use the office that we work together on as an example pretty regularly about different areas where like everything seems like it's working. And then I also have to use this example a lot. It's kind of like when you do a crown prep and then you realize that you need a root canal, like the crown prep didn't cause the root canal. It just showed you what was already there. So like we pull one little piece out of this Jenga tower and the whole thing starts to crumble because everything is so holistically integrated. It's the same with your team. Like you have everybody so cohesively together. And when you start to see like one little thing and you try and fix that one thing, the whole kit and caboodle can unwind. And now you're in this huge mess that started from this one little thing. And really, if we had scaled this all the way back to the beginning, when we started learning how to do things, if we had built a stronger foundation, then we would have been able to fix this problem from happening 3 years later, 5 years later, and we could have solved all of that. So when I hear people are like converting on their own, or they're just training on YouTube and all of these things, like that's great. And I love that for you if that's what you can manage right now, but people will sometimes feel like this is going to be like, well, now we just know it, but you don't know what you don't know. And I think this is kind of like a metaphor for anything in your practice. Like you don't know what you don't know. And if you aren't exploring new ways to grow, adapt, evolve, you're going to continue these systems. And then when you pull that Jenga block out 5 years from now, the whole thing crumbles. Everybody's burnt out. Everybody's exhausted. Nobody wants to learn a new thing because they've been doing it for 5 years now. And we've created this whirlwind of problems because we wanted really badly to just learn on YouTube and have that be it all. But no other software when you convert is like, just learn on YouTube and you got this. You wouldn't like, I'm going to do a filling tomorrow, I'm just going to watch a YouTube video. You would never do that. So why is it that you think for your software that like one YouTube video is going to teach you all of the things that make it tick, and that can just be the way that it works?
Yeah, I love that. And yeah, Open Dental, it's so customizable too. And as you were speaking, it was reminding me of, I always like to use like fitness analogies and stuff like that, but it's like, you know, going out and like say somebody wants to take up running or weightlifting, right? And they're like, oh, I just, you know, say running. I just buy a pair of running shoes and this like cool outfit, you know, from Lululemon or something. And then off I go running, and they don't. And then, you know, maybe in 6 months they have a back injury or their knees are killing them or their hips hurt or something like that. Where you're saying if you had some coaching and some resources at first of like, hey, this is proper running form. These are the correct shoes to wear. You know, this would be ideal for you, like the clothes to wear, et cetera, et cetera. Like this is how you can set yourself up for success, because anything that you do repetitively over and over and over again, if you have bad form or bad practices, it's going to become overwhelming and getting you to a point where you're in big trouble, right? Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, in the practice, you know, that we were partnering up on, it opened up a whole can of worms. And I'm sure you see that in so many offices as you get going, where you're just unraveling decades of bad practices and not to people's fault. I mean, right? Because one of the things we were talking about too is whoever trained them, you know, they're just passing down what they know. And sometimes they don't know that, ooh, this was probably not the best way to use Open Dental. It works in the interim, but on the back end, it's creating a whole mess of data.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think that's one of my favorite things too. It's funny that you use running as the example because my husband just started running marathons and I was like, I'm going to do this too. And I have like severe foot injuries right now because I was like, it's just running. Like you don't, everybody knows how to run wrong. Apparently I don't. So I love that you use that reference without knowing that. I think of it like the princess and the pea, like they keep stacking up the mattresses on top of that pea. And then all this, like, it shouldn't be that big of a deal. But like, girl can't sleep at night anymore because she's got this like raging back pain from this tiny little pea under a mattress from 10 years ago. And it's very much like that. And you start to then build a workaround and then you build solution for the workaround. And then you build another workaround to max that workaround. And then, oh, well, this report doesn't balance anymore because we did this workaround. So now we've got to build a custom query. And now we're building a custom query to run a report. And it just stacks and stacks and stacks when really the solution was just to take that pea out. Let's just figure out how to do it right from the jump. And then none of this would have happened. And it's like I said, a conversion is stressful. Trying something new is stressful and it puts a ton of stress on the team already. So sometimes, you know, me, myself included, like if it's easier, just not do the training, then maybe it's easy. But we have to know that that's like, we're going to get through these 2 weeks, then we're going to implement more systems. And we have to actually have a plan for what happens next. Because if you go in blind, you're never, ever, ever going to not be blind. Like you're going to build something, but it may not be the right thing.
Yeah. So what is like the number one complaint you get when you start working with an office, whether it's a conversion or someone's coming to you saying, hey, we know our systems aren't efficient. What do you usually hear from front office folks is like behind the scenes, you know, as far as I'm sure they're using you almost as a therapist as well as somebody who can relate to their Open Dental or practice management woes. What do you usually hear?
So what, like the actual answer that came to my mind, what I hear most is I'm so exhausted. None of this ever works. Like it doesn't seem to click. I don't feel like I'm being asked for more and more things every day, but we still haven't fixed this one problem. I don't feel like I'm being heard on this one problem. So yeah, I do definitely get used as like a sounding board or a therapist. People don't usually reach out for help until they're at a point where they like needed it a while ago. So that's usually when they're coming to me, and that's usually their feedback is that I'm really struggling to do the day-to-day functions of my job because every time I try, these 10 things pop up that aren't right. And it breaks my heart every single time because a lot of the time it is like another example I used from the client that we shared. I'm so sorry if you guys are listening. Was we were there presenting like full mouth restoration cases and they're going through and they're building a treatment plan and they've got, like you said, multiple treatment options and they're clicking every single little procedure code to build out these massive full mouth restoration treatment plans. It's taking her hours to put together one treatment plan and now she's got 10 more patients who just left and it's this never ending cycle. And then we built quick buttons for their popular procedures. So she had to push 3 buttons for each treatment plan instead of 33 buttons for each treatment plan. And it was like,
yeah,
the skies open. She was like tearing up. She was like, this is just, and those types of moments happen a lot because people don't know what they don't know. They don't understand that it's not supposed to be hard. I think that speaks to pretty much everything in the practice. Like if there's a rock in your shoe, let's get the rock out. Let's figure out what is holding you back. What is causing that stress? What's making you feel no joy at work? And let's try and figure out how to get that out of there. And sometimes it's as easy as building some buttons in Open Dental to save you tons and tons of time and headache. And it can really be that simple. Now, sometimes it requires a lot of work because we've built, like I said, those foundations and we've got to unravel all of it. But sometimes we can get a pretty quick dopamine hit by just like making a button or just changing a setting. And then we can go from there.
Yeah. And you often hear, I mean, like you said, people saying that they're overwhelmed, they're exhausted, they need more help in the front office. You know, I know a lot of offices will often say we need more help and leadership often challenges nudges folks in the front office, like, it doesn't make any sense. Why do we need more help? And they're just, you know, they're saying, I'm overwhelmed. I have way too much work. And both parties can be right, you know, because I think what you're saying is there's inefficiencies that people are participating in that they don't realize are. We don't know what we don't know. Mm-hmm. And so, like, in that case, you know, spending so much time going through, you know, line by line and adding in each of these procedures. And I mean, you probably saved her hours a day, I would imagine. And then headaches and stress because, you know, she was chronically getting interrupted while she was, you know, trying to create these treatment plans. And that always creates overwhelm and stress and burnout when it's simplified, boom, one button, and they were all put in at once, which was just, yeah, I remember I was actually there at the office when that happened, and the joy that was on her face was pretty incredible. And it saved her an enormous amount of time, enormous amount of stress, worry, frustration, etc. But there's so many of those examples that you have by people really seeking out help to understand their software. And I know, I mean, you know, I'm a Gen Xer and I am pretty technologically aware for being a Gen Xer. I'm certainly no Gen Z these days. And I'm realizing that there's so much technology out there. And I'm just thinking, I mean, this is outside of dentistry, but just with the level of tech that's available now, I know that I'm not using technology that I have to the best of its ability or maximizing its potential or anything like that. So why would it be any different for your practice management software or any other tech that you have in your office? And to bring people in that really specialize in it makes such a difference.
I am biased, but I obviously very much so agree. Also, yeah. Are you sure you're not a millennial? You give strong millennial vibes. You can sit with us anyways.
Thank you. Honorary millennial.
Honorary. Yeah.
No. Solid Gen X. Yeah.
You know what? That's okay. We love a Gen X around here too. I think it's super important to speak to the burnout piece a little bit too. And yes, I just, like, please. I would be remiss if I didn't talk about it just a tiny bit more and make sure that I share with anybody who may be listening that I became an expert in this software because I was burnt out. Like it wasn't like, oh, I'm just an expert in this software and now I'm never going to be burnt out. And you may learn the software inside your practice and you may feel like you're growing a knowledge base, but you may still be feeling burnout because of the inefficiencies. So anytime like you're working in the software, one rule that I have is if it's hard, it's probably not right. If there's a lot of button clicks, you're probably not doing it right. And mm-hmm. And that's one thing that I like to keep in mind whenever we're working with people. And I also just want to share that, like, I also was the burnt out team member. I was going to say office manager. I was a lot of different roles, but I was the burnt out team member too, who came to work and was like a negative culture leech everywhere inside the practice. I was the cranky one. I never wanted to be there. I had no energy because I was also struggling with not having an efficient software. And then out of a necessity became the expert and learned what made it tick so I could learn all of the things that we were doing wrong and how to optimize it all and how to teach other people how to optimize at all. So everybody starts in the same kind of point, even me.
Yeah. And that's such a huge part of your story, which I know adds so much to the context of where you're coming from. You were somebody that was working in the front office. You grew while you were in that role. Then you had multiple offices. You were in charge of training people. You were in charge of creating SOPs and systematizing things like that. So you've experienced the other side of it. And like you said, I know that you experienced extreme burnout with that, and you're recognizing the importance and the relevance of having systems in place and the efficiencies with Open Dental. So for those folks that end up working with you, you're coming from a place of experience. Like, you've been there, you've been in their shoes.
I think that is one of the biggest things that helps me form the relationships that I have with my clients. One, because I'm a goober and like make software training kind of fun just by being like the goober that I am. But two, because I can really genuinely relate to where they're coming from. I also converted softwares and we didn't have a strong rollout plan in place. I also had to deal with, well, how do I do all of these things and all the new button clicks and all of the inefficiencies that we were building because we were also recreating our old system in the new software. I also struggled with team members leaving and then we were short-staffed because everybody's stressed out about the thing. So I've just really been in those shoes before, which I think is really helpful when it comes to trying to build a relationship with a client and making sure that the systems that we're rolling out with them actually work for them, because we've built that trust and rapport and they're not afraid to be like, Brittany, this is actually dumb. Like, it's not going to work for us. Let's go back to the drawing board.
Yeah. And you have a very, you know, pointed perspective on burnout, which I think is really valuable in the sense of, because you're working with so many front office folks and, you know, you do hear a lot that, you know, they reach a point of burnout or they leave, you know, they find somewhere else. And, you know, then you speak to leaders or, you know, owners and, you know, they tend to think like, oh, this is par for the course. Turnover is so common now. People always think the grass is greener. There's mm-hmm. this sense of entitlement, yada, yada, yada. But you're seeing more so that a lot of people are leaving because there's no systems, like there's mm-hmm. inefficient systems, and that leads to frustration. And maybe they won't find better systems wherever else they go, but it's certainly not keeping them where they are if things are just kind of a hot mess, because it adds a level of uncertainty. And I think one of, you know, from a coaching perspective, one of the basic human needs is certainty. Like, people are chronically seeking certainty. We all know that there's no guarantee there, but it's a human nature to crave certainty. And we want that sense of stability. Again, we know it doesn't entirely exist, but it's a human condition to have certainty and stability. And if you're going into a workplace every day where there isn't certainty, or it's just chronically a hot mess, or chronically, you never know what you're walking into. And to be honest, I hear that more often now from team members than I ever have in my almost 20 years of coaching, is I never know what I'm waking up to. Mm-hmm. You know, I never know who's going to call out, what's going to hit the fan that day, what fire I got to put out. And they get to a place of, you know, it's called cynicism and resignation, where you just kind of throw your hands up in the air and you're like, you know, F it. I don't know what to do anymore. You know, I'm just going to come in and I'm going to be chronically in this reactive mode versus proactive and supportive and creative and, you know, all the attributes that every leader wants in a team member, without looking at the fact that, oh, maybe they're operating in a system that's completely burning them out. And we also, like you've shared too, we were chatting about, which is we kind of celebrate this grind culture where mm-hmm. it's like work, 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 and look how hard we're working, and we'll sleep when we're dead and all that kind of stuff. And I see that even on LinkedIn, folks celebrating like mm-hmm. how hardcore they are and how intensely they work. And I find that not attractive at all. There's nothing about that that I think is cool, because I see their faces in the photos and they look exhausted. Mm-hmm. And it's like, I don't want that. Like, what about right. that is attractive to me? You know? So yeah. I know I'm saying a lot in all this, but I think that's something people really overlook. And you being on the underbelly of that, you know, helping people resolve and find, you know, consistency in systems that work, you must just see that all the time.
Yeah. And the whole reason that I created this was, again, to make sure that nobody else wound up where I was in the time when I needed this and didn't have it. So I really built the whole business around like where I was in 2020, 2019. And that's kind of our goal here. And it is easy to fall back into those cycles of like hustle, do more, because you start to see like the little bit of payout that comes from it. And then you get sucked back into that culture because that's what everybody else is doing and all the things. And yeah, you do see it on LinkedIn, Instagram. And I recently actually just went through a very similar thing where my coach had to tell me like, hey, you need to put time on your calendar every single day, 1 hour of something that brings you joy, something that would make your inner child happy was actually the project. And it's 1 hour a day, but like, wow, has it made an impact? So now I'm also challenging people I work with to do that too, because yeah, your software is what we're here to do. But at the same time, like, I can't teach a new software. I can't implement a new thing to someone who's fried, who's pushed themselves to the point where that grind culture has sucked all the life out of them. And now they're just here all the time. And they've also then built that expectation that they're going to be the one to show up and grind all the time. I can't fix all of that unless we scale it back a little bit. So we're also doing that challenge with people that we're working with too, because it is so glorified and like so sexy to be working all the time. And all I do is work and look at all these achievements I have, but like you go home and you're miserable and you're drinking and you're eating cookie dough from the freezer bin and you haven't seen your kids in 2 weeks. And like, that's not actually as sexy as we paint it out to be. Like, I don't love that for any of us.
No, no. Yeah. I think it's really fascinating that people think they have limitless capacity and think that they're superhuman. And it's something that I coach a lot, especially with women. I say a high capacity, high performing, high achieving women. There's this idea of, well, give it to me, I'll take it. Give it to me, I'll take it. I can do it. I can do it. And the reality is, our brains, and at a neurological level, we only have so much to give at the level that we want to actually perform at. So it's when you're in those wee hours, of the morning or the night or whenever you're jamming it all in, you're actually not at a high performance level. And it's not a place to, you're not being creative. You're in a survival state. And the body is doing all it can to conserve your energy and basically just help keep you alive. And no matter how much caffeine you have, or no matter, how early you get up and 5 a.m. club and cold plunge and take all the supplements and whatever, because I've been there, done that, there is a limit. There really is a limit. And the people that are going even beyond that, that you might see like influencers and stuff like that, there's something else that's going on there too that we don't get to see behind the scenes, or whoever else is carrying the emotional load or the 18 other obligations that you have, somebody else is managing that for you. So I think it's really mindful to just keep those, keep your expectations in check and raise your hand. And I love what you're consistently saying, which is you don't necessarily have a burnout problem. You don't necessarily have a leadership problem. You likely have a systems problem. And for the high achieving perfectionistic leaders and owners that I often work with, that's a hard pill to swallow because they think they're really good at everything and they don't want to admit that they have a systems problem. And, I shared a podcast by one of my mentors, Gary Gunderson, with my email list lately because I really loved what he was saying, which was just because you're really, really good at one thing or maybe three things doesn't mean you're really good at all the things. So if you're a really great clinician, or maybe you're a really great leader or a motivational speaker, with your team, or you have a very likable personality, or I don't know, maybe you're really great at a couple things in the business, it really distorts your ego because then you think you're a master of all, and you find it challenging to raise your hand and ask for help for even some of the most basic things, like, hey, I don't know how to use this open dental stuff. Or, hey, I think I screwed my team over and didn't get them the open dental help they needed. And for the egos in the room, that can be a hard pill to swallow because they don't want to think like, oh, shoot. It's kind of like I didn't set my checking account up right. Like they want to just know, like, I did all the things. I should have checked all the boxes. Because again, I think people take practice management software for granted.
Yeah,
I don't
a
think they look
hundred
at
percent.
it.
No, it's like a necessary evil in their minds when really it's got the power to like do all the things for you. Like it's such a powerful tool if we just tap into it. I say it's like using your cell phone just for like texting or just for calling
Yeah.
and not using any of the apps or the features or the alarms or the automations. Like what are you even doing with it then? You got the iPhone 37 Plus, but all you do is make phone calls on it. Like what's the point? I don't get it.
Yeah, totally. Well, Brittany, I just think you're exceptional, and I'd love to have you on again to tell more about your story because I think your story itself is really inspirational for folks in the dental industry who are a bit of a unicorn like yourself and somebody who's really found their way. And in the way that you did, I think it's always, I love your story and I love what you're doing and I love the energy that you bring into the dental space. I think it's so needed, and you're such an inspiration and a light for so many people that get to be around you and get to work with you, and you're helping, your crew. I love that you're giving back to the folks in the positions that you came from, and like you're saying, you're alchemizing the pain essentially that you went through by giving back in the way that you are. So I just always really admire you and respect you, and I'm super glad that we had the opportunity to chat today.
Thank you so much for making me cry in our last minute together. I really appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
You're the best. You just listened to the Real Talk of Dental. If it hit, if it stung, if it made you feel just a little more human, good. That's the point. This isn't about fixing practices. It's about healing people. And if you're brave enough to show up real in this industry, you're my kind of leader. Subscribe, call in, send your wildest workplace confession. And most importantly, don't clean up for anyone. The mess, that's where the magic lives. We'll see you again on the next episode.